In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus says to you, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Or as you just sang in the first verse of the office hymn, entrust your days and burdens to God's most loving hand. He cares for you while ruling the sky, the sea, and the land. So we are told that Jesus bids his disciples to get into a boat and to cross the Sea of Galilee immediately after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And it is now late in the afternoon when they are bidden to do this, and as he dismisses the crowds who had eaten the fish and the loaves, he goes up to a mountain to pray. And so night will soon come, as it always does in this life. And the disciples, where are they? They're out on the sea. They're in the tempest of the world. They are suffering, and they are tormented, and they are buffeted. Yes, they are making headway, but as you know, it's hard, and it's painful. Literally, they rowed for about 9 hours, and they made it about 4 miles, about halfway to the other side where they were supposed to be. And as they're rowing, you can imagine their thoughts, because their thoughts are likely your thoughts, or at least mine. Why did Jesus constrain us, force us to go on without him? Why did he leave us at all? Why has he been gone so long? Does he not see that we are in a desperate need? Why does he delay his presence when we are afflicted? Now, the scriptures are clear, and we don't really like it, but it's ultimately for the exercising and the strengthening of faith. That living in the darkest hours, coming out of those, we truly know and find peace in God's comforting word after those hard nights. But then again, no one really likes to exercise when you think about it. As much as the people that say that they want to, they really don't. But the benefits of exercising are quite clear to the body and the mind. But that faith is not a matter of sight is hard. I mean, we want to see, and that on the basis of that seeing, believe that God exists, that he sees us. We want to untie the mysteries of life. We want to unknot the knots that don't make sense so that they all fit together. But if that were the case, then what would be faith and what would be trust? It would be rendered completely useless, and it would be empty and void. And the words of St. Peter would be completely untrue when he says that though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you nonetheless believe in him with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. We always want to see Jesus, and we imagine that when we don't see him, he therefore doesn't see us or does not want to. Certainly, as the disciples struggled in the boat, you can think that they questioned their Lord whether or not he saw their plight. Did he care at all? And while they may feel that they are alone, that we may feel that we are alone, that it's just simply not the case. It's not true. Remember that on a mountain of our Lord's own making, he goes to pray. But he goes not to pray for himself. He goes to pray for you, for his disciples. And so you toil on the sea, and he prays for you. You suffer, and he intercedes on your behalf. You are pounded by the winds and the waves of this world, and he is bearing that buffeting and that fury in his body as your great high priest. As you long for your Lord Jesus Christ, he is also exercising his love on your behalf. And this is indeed the Christian life in this life. We are afloat on the sea, and our flesh is frail and fragile, and the wind is high, and the storms are scary, and yet Jesus is over all of it. He alone is able to save to the uttermost those who call upon God's name, since he always what? He always lives to intercede for his people, for us. Notice that Jesus comes in the fourth watch of the night. That is by design, because the fourth watch of the night was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's the last hours before the dawn. That is to say, when it is the most darkest, when you feel as if you're about to drown, then he comes. He watches us, this storm-tossed little flock, and he comes at the last hour, when night and sin and death have done their worst at the end of the world, so that he does this, so that he can say things like this. Fear and death, they were my messengers. That thorn in the flesh that you had, that was my messenger. But now they cannot do you any harm. I have removed it. I've removed the sting by my rod and my staff by which I have comforted you, and you have conquered in me the fight that you have fought. Death now has no sting, and even the grave has no body. But we are not there yet. We're still halfway. Back to the boat, to exercising and the strengthening of faith. Jesus, we are told, will to pass by the disciples as they were in the boat. He didn't have to, but he chose to pass by them. And one wonders why. Not because he's some sadistic deity, he's not some callous God. No, he wants them to do something that he wants his children to do and what he loves to hear. He wants them to pray to him, and he wants them to call upon his name. It's just like a father and a mother who desire and love to hear their children's cries and their conversation with them. And what is amazing about God, our Heavenly Father, is that he loves to hear our voice regardless of its sound or tone. He loves to hear our voice whether it's joyful or sad, whether it's delightful or depressed, whether it's cheerful or angry. This is why the Psalms are so wonderful for the Christian and so important in the life of the Christian. Because it verbalizes the voice of faith throughout the true nature of life as it is lived on the sea, here below. And God loves it when we seek him in his promise. Because that's where he desires to be found, and that's where he is found. For he knows that when we don't seek him in his promise, when we look within ourselves, when we navel gaze and try and go it alone, there will only be futility and frustration. Now granted, when we pray in those darkest hours, we're still not sure that he's listening and if it is even him. After all, it sure looks and feels like a ghost, a phantasma, an imagination, a picture of Jesus. But it is not a ghost and it's not a phantasma. Rather, it is the very fleshly Jesus. And he cries out to our confused hearts, not a rebuff, not like, you soul of hearts, you idiot, you didn't understand. No, he calls out that loving and precious word, take heart, it is literally, I am, do not be afraid. Now at this moment, he could have said all the things that people put in his mouth that he does not say, nor will he ever say. As if, I only come to help those who help themselves. Or I only come to help those who paddle harder, or have more faith, or give me more money, or do more things for me. No. Notice what God does, what Jesus does. He gets into the boat with them. That's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That is Christmas right there. And is it not the best gift ever to know that Jesus takes on my flesh? that he gets into my world with my sin and my mess and my dysfunction. And he suffers with me even as he comforts me, stilling the storm of my sick sea heart. Because there is nothing that you and I will ever experience in this life that Jesus Christ has not already suffered. For while he passes by the boat, even when he sleeps in the boat, he still says to you, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And notice that Jesus does more than just sympathize with your sufferings. Though he does that. He doesn't identify in the sense that he's another participant in a support group sitting in a chair giving advice from his own perspective. No, he's literally bearing our sins. With all of its heavy crosses and all of its difficulties, he's taking them as his own. And by his voice, he's calming them for us, even as he is suffering them. He's bringing us to the harbor of salvation. And St. Augustine has this wonderful word regarding this aspect of God coming to us in the cross of Christ Jesus. He himself became the way, and this through the sea. For this reason, he walked on the sea that he might show you that there is a way upon the sea. But you, who cannot in any way yourself walk on the sea, let yourselves be carried by the ship, be carried by the wood. The boat is the cross of Jesus Christ. The boat is the cross of Jesus Christ by which we reach the harbor of salvation. And when we realize that by faith, our reaction is one of amazement, is it not? As we'll sing, "Praise the one who breaks the darkness." It fills our hearts as we reach land with these disciples. Here we are. We're rescued mariners with a fresh admiration of our Lord, with a renewed sense of faith and hope and trust that God does actually deliver us from sin, death, and all danger. And here we find our feet on this land of the ever-living saints, where there is no storm and there is no night, but there's only eternal light and life and peace. But again, you hear these promises of Jesus and they sound so wonderful in your ears, but still the flesh wonders, really, is that how it's going to be? Is that how it's going to end? And the disciples know how you feel. For they don't understand either. They just saw 5,000 plus people be fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They were just rescued from the clutches of death on a raging sea. And they don't understand. Their hearts are not hardened like that of the pharaohs of Egypt or the Pharisees of the Sanhedrin or that they're refusing to believe. They want to, but they don't understand. It is the littleness of faith, if we might put it that way. And here again is the reality of the Christian's life in this world. That there is the old flesh, the old man, which is full of doubt and despair and distrust and skepticism. And then there is the new man with the new flesh with true faith and trust and hope and complete confidence. And these two wrestle with one another until we die. And it is amid that wrestling match of the old man and the new man that the words that St. Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus here in our epistle lesson are so comforting and so important. Hear again these words. "May he," that is Jesus, "grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That is your pastor's prayer for you, even as we know that that is your prayer for us. For it is blessed, it is a wonderful thing when pastor and people and family dwell in the unity of the Holy Gospel, as Jesus puts it today. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Or as the hymnist concludes the first verse, he who guides the tempest along their thunderous ways will find for you a pathway and guide you all your days. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.